Today is July 13th, 2023. I'm Jen Weiner with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with Sergeant Salvador Quinones?
Quinones. Close, yes.
At the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
How long have you been on the department?
I am going out on August 3rd of this year will be 8 years. So, 8 years, yes. And it goes by fast. It does.
What made you want to become a firefighter?
Oh, and honestly, it was never a plan or never a thought. We were talking earlier, I grew up on New Chapel Road, and there was that Utica Volunteer Fire Department. It was about four houses down from my house, and I used to always hang out there, play basketball with those guys. But it was still wasn't a thing that I wanted to do. And then I just, around 06, I started trying out for the Jet Fire, and that's the only department that I wanted to get on. So now both my brother and I are both firefighters. He's Louisville Fire, but I'm over here. But
nice.
It was nothing we ever talked about. Nice. That we both ended up being firefighters. So, yeah.
So if you weren't a firefighter, what do you think you would be doing?
Honestly, I don't know. So when I first went to college, when I went to U of L, I wanted to be a chef coming up. But I also wanted to play football. You couldn't do both. There was no culinary program at U of L. So the only one I believe was at... Is that Spalding, I believe? Maybe one or Bellarmine, somewhere. It was another school, but it didn't have a football team. So I had to decide. I was like, well, I thought I was going to be this, you know, big NFL player, which I wasn't. I stopped growing once I got to high school. But so I went to U of L, and I walked on the football team my freshman year. But then after that, it was just more like a job. Like, it was all day football, all day, every day. At that level of, you know, college, it was every day. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. And obviously the chef thing was out at that point because I was like, now I'm here at U of L. I had an exercise science major, same thing as my brother. But I didn't know what I was going to do with it. So eventually I actually didn't even end up graduating. I went to U of L for 3 years, and then I was going to take that gap year. It turned into a 20-year gap year. Yeah.
It's okay. There's always time to go back if you want that degree.
That is true.
So do you cook?
I do. I cook a lot. I cook a lot at work. Those guys, they want me to cook every day now, my crew and everything. I do cook a lot. And born in Puerto Rico and raised out there a little bit, there's a lot of cooking that gets done at home. Nobody really eats out over there or anything. Everybody cooks. And my grandmother had a restaurant in Puerto Rico, which I actually, while my mom was at work, I used to go to the restaurant, just hang out with my grandmother and bother her all day until my mom got home. But So I was always around a lot of cooking and everything. I do enjoy it.
So. It's a great skill to have.
It is.
Whether you're a firefighter or not, it's a great skill to have.
It is. Yeah. I just think it's fun. I like, I like following recipes. And after I do it a few times, then I'll try to, not perfect it, but I try to make it my way. You know what I mean? My own way.
I do the exact same thing. Yep. To me, cooking is relaxing.
That's right.
I want to be in the kitchen by myself.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
So what are some challenges of your job?
There's a lot of challenges. So it's a very dynamic job, as you know, everything's changing, always evolving and changing. And it could be a medical run that goes wrong. It don't even have to be a fire. You know, it could be a medical run where you might have someone who's obviously on drugs or something. It might be reacting violently. Might be, you know, bloodborne pathogens, diseases, everything. You just never know. With as much PPE as we use, there's still always that chance you need. I've ended up with blood on me. You know, I'm doing CPR, doing different things. You just don't know. We've had some overdoses when you Narcan a patient. I don't know if you've ever seen it yourself personally, but they'll jump. They get up violent, and then, you know, so we'll have to hold them down. You just never know. You never know who has a weapon on them. Normally, thank God for JPD, they're usually there before us, and they'll search. You know, they'll pat them down, make sure there's no weapons, whoever or anyone that's around. But you just never know. There's so many risks. New construction nowadays, they're wanting to put up more homes, more apartments, and obviously everyone wants to make as much profit as possible. So they'll build everything a lot lighter, lightweight construction, a lot lighter. So things go up on fire and they go fast. Yeah, they go fast. They go really fast. So it's dangerous for us to be inside certain structures sometimes because it just goes so fast because they're building everything so lightweight nowadays. It's all about profits.
It is. Absolutely, yeah. So how long did it take for you to get used to working the 24-hour shifts?
It was kind of weird at first. It took me, I would say, probably a couple months, my first few months on. I just thought it was weird. I went to work and I would stay there and sleep and, you know, and everything, and then go home the next day. It was just really, it was different. It was completely different.
Because on the outside, you're kind of like, yeah. Oh, that might be kind of cool. Go to work and I get to sleep. But then it's like, so how long did it take you to be able to sleep and not be waiting for the alarm to go off?
So I can always sleep. I'm a good sleeper, but it took me a while to not be scared to death when the alarm went off, because it'll really jar you when you're sleeping and you have this, and especially at the house, the station I'm at now, headquarters, that station and the one down on 62, which is our station 4, they have red lights in the room. Those are the only ones that have those. Everybody has their individual room. So when the alarm goes off, not only is it loud, but then you have this bright red light that goes off and, you know, and lights up your
room.
There's
no way you're sleeping through that.
No. And it was different. Yeah, and you wake up in this dark red room.
You're like, what is even happening?
Yeah. Because it's still dark, but it's a super, I don't know, it's weird. It's just a very ominous looking.
I can imagine, just right. Red room.
Yeah. So it took a little bit to get used to that. Cause I've always slept great, but in a way I guess I'm a light sleeper. So the smallest noise or something near me will wake me up. So, but I can fall right back asleep and I won't be tired. I won't feel like I didn't get any sleep. But just that loud alarm, that'll really get you up. It really gets you up. So it took me a little bit to get used to that. That was the main thing that it took me a while to get used to.
Because I always think about that. Like, you know, I have a hard time sleeping. I'm thinking like, man, if I had to like be worried about an alarm going off at any time in the middle of the night.
Some nights we get lucky and we don't have any overnight. And some nights you get nights where
you don't sleep.
Yeah, we'll get back at 4 a.m. and it'll go off again. And you're like, at this point, I'm just going
to
stay up.
I'm just going to
stay up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So how many times is your dinner interrupted by a call?
It happens every once in a while. I won't say it's a lot, but... And the times when it does happen, it seems like it's always as soon as we spent, whoever spent a lot of time cooking, preparing this good meal, and we call everybody in to eat, and we're getting ready to sit down. We haven't even taken that first bite, and the alarm goes off. And then you get back to a cold meal. You try to keep it warm as much as possible, but it just depends where you are. We've had there was one of the guys got married. We were at his wedding reception. It was Saturday night, obviously. We all worked that Sunday, the rest of the crew. Mm-hmm. He was leaving to go on honeymoon. You know, everybody else worked that Sunday on our crew. We went in, we were making biscuits and gravy. We were all starving. You know, we had been out later than normal.
Absolutely,
for the wedding,
yeah.
Having a good time. And we were making these biscuits and gravy. We were ready. Everybody was so ready to eat. And the alarm goes off, and it was a fire. And we were like, oh, man, hopefully it's not bad. It ended up being a bad one. We didn't get back to the firehouse almost 2:00. So we didn't get to eat. We were starving. We hadn't eaten breakfast. We hadn't had a snack. Hadn't had anything. We didn't get back till 2 p.m. after working a fire. It was the worst day that I can think of so far. Because I get hangry.
I understand that completely. Yeah. Yeah, I've always got snacks somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was so
good. So if you're in the middle of cooking, you just have to turn off the stove and just go? I mean, because you have to go on the call. Like, there's no excuse.
We definitely have to turn off the stove. And at first, I was like, maybe we could just leave it on low or whatever. But it'd be pretty...
It'd be sad.
It'd be a crazy story if the firehouse caught on fire.
But let's not have it happen in Jeffersonville.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to see a headline. I'll be like, no, who did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are some of the best parts of your job?
Oh, the best part, outside of all the people that we meet around the community, or people just being able to help everyone, the best part, I think, is just the camaraderie we have within our, like, a lot of the crews and a lot of the guys. It's like a really like a brotherhood. Everyone there gets along great, at least as far as from my perspective and the people that I work with and all that. Everyone gets along great, and there's nothing those guys wouldn't do for you. I mean, if you need any help on your days off with something, moving, whatever it may be, you can get a guy, someone's gonna help you for sure. And like I said, that's the part from inside the firehouse. Outside, I would say the best part, obviously, when you see kids out in public and they're just so happy to see this big red truck, and we have those helmets that we give out, and they just love it. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you about those helmets. 100% of the time, they'll put them on backwards. You know, when we get the... It looks like the bill of the head. For us, that goes in the back to protect us from embers or anything falling. When the kids are grabbing, they'll put it on like as a bill of their hat.
That's so cute.
100% of the time, they put them on backwards. But even if we put them on for them, they'll turn it around.
They're like, that's not right.
But yeah, it's always great to see the kids out in at different events. One of my personal favorites, and as long as the Halloween that we do when we pass out candy at the Big Four Bridge,
that's
always
like fun.
That's always a good time. See so many kids, so many costumes. I always love to see the ones that come up dressed as firefighters. So we always sneak a little extra in their bag.
Oh, absolutely! yes.
Yeah. So that's always fun, though.
So, what are some of the worst parts of your job?
The worst parts, obviously, is when we respond to a lot of things. It's somebody's worst day, or usually one of their worst days. You know, so it's we do. There's a lot of people, you know, that pass away on, you know, certain runs, especially, you know, bad accidents, whatever it may be, fires, whatever. People are losing their personal belongings, their everything they've worked for. So that's obviously the worst part. Or somebody, you know, somebody watching their family member, you know, die right in front of them, and we're trying to help and trying to, you know, do our best to help that person out. But sometimes it just doesn't, you know, there's not much you can do.
You have all the training in the world, but things happen. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Is there one call that stands out to you more than others for, I mean, whatever reason that it was bad, funny, or?
Yeah. Myself personally, there hasn't been one that really stands out above the other. You know, we've had some bad stuff and whatever, but I do know a lot of guys, they runs that involve children, especially infants, those are the worst. And like they're just, those are the ones that really stick with you, you know what I mean? But fortunately for myself, I have not had any incidents with children as far as really, really bad. My crew was working the day when they discovered all those bodies at the funeral home on Middle Road last year. So that one stands out to a lot of the guys on my crew.
You were on that day. Did you have to go in?
I did not, because I was off work last year. I had surgery on my shoulder. So I was off work that day. I was doing the PIO thing, but I was not there on duty. So I did not. But my extra crew where I'm at now at headquarters, had to go in and remove all those bodies.
That was probably one of the stinkiest calls.
It was the worst. And we had to be fully encapsulated. Well, they did. They had to be fully encapsulated. And they said you could still, when you came outside, you could still smell and took it off to a degree. And plus, it was in July. So it was about a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah.
So it was super hot. So that smell was really bad. And it was really hot in those suits. So when they take them out, they were dripping sweat. And then you could smell all that. It was just those type of runs, and that's happened with those really bad smells. That's happened. That happened. Those really stand out to you too, because there's a smell you'll never forget.
You never forget.
That's right.
You smell it again, and you're like,
forget.
Trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So even though having that surgery last year was a terrible experience, because I just, you know, was off work for so long and couldn't do much. But that day, I was thankful.
You're like, ooh. That's one call I'm glad I didn't get.
That's right. That day I was glad. I was like, yeah, my shoulder's hurting, guys. You know, I know. I was off still. But that was a rough day.
That was
but
just a bizarre incident to begin
that,
with.
That was one of those. It's one of those runs you hope something like that never happens again. That's just wild. You just never know. I just saw on the news some guy got caught yesterday in Mount Washington with body parts in his, you know, you just never know,
you never
what's
know
going
what you're
on.
Gonna walk
exactly.
into like
yeah.
People have no idea. Yeah. I don't think what police and fire go yeah. That's why I like doing these interviews, because you find out like there's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens in your city that these people take care of for you.
You would never know.
I know there's no like typical day for you, but let's say when you go into the firehouse in the morning, what are some things that you do all of it every time you go in?
So now as a sergeant, so I've just recently promoted, my main job, main thing, is to make sure our truck is ready to respond and our equipment is ready to go. Nothing's broken. So my first thing I do every morning after I get my gear on the truck, I make sure I check the entire truck, check all the compartments, check with the other, get with the other sergeant who's leaving that day, make sure there's nothing that was broken or that we're missing that we need to replace. Just make sure we're ready to respond at all times. It's the main job. This is the first thing. Usually on my crew, like I was telling you earlier, they always want me to cook. So as soon as I'm doing that, I go right straight to the kitchen and start making breakfast.
Absolutely. You got to be fueled
that's
up.
That's
for your
right. After breakfast, we do our cleanup. We have daily duties that we do, a different day of the week. It's different things. So one day is windows, and so, you know, one day is bay floors. But every day we have our minimum duties of taking out the trash, mopping, sweeping the floors, make sure that, you know, there's no trash.
And general housekeeping things.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are daily duties, but then on certain days we have other bigger duties. Like I said, we'll clean all the windows or whatever, we'll spray all the windows and wipe them down, clean the all the certain compartments on the truck have to be straightened out and wiped down. So we have the cleaning. After that, it's usually we'll do some kind of training. It's up to your captain, you know, or lieutenant, whoever's in charge that day, what training we'll do. A lot of the times, I prefer the hands-on training. I don't like the sit down in a room and watch a video type training. Those are the worst. Those are the worst. Cause after so much, I don't care what the video is about. It's not. I'm gonna get sleepy. You know, when you're sitting in a room in a nice air-conditioned room, you're gonna get.
And a lot of
tired.
People learn by doing, not right, by watching
right,
a video.
Right. It doesn't matter what, and that's why when I studied them for, and I studied for different like promotion lecture. I have to be in a quiet, super quiet room, because if there's noise in the background and I'm reading something, it's going to take me about 3 times reading that, because my mind cannot just focus. Now I want to know what's
you're
going
on.
On yeah,
the
yeah,
noise
yeah. What's going on out here? What's
right.
going on? So, yeah, so that type of training. So usually that goes on, the training goes on from, I would say we're done with cleanup and eating breakfast, maybe about 9. So it's usually like 10 to noon, around noon. You know, some guys have lunch, some guys work out. You know, it just depends what you want to do, or it just depends. Being at headquarters now, we have a lot of tours, like kids mm-hmm. that come in and things, so we might have that going on that day. We might have a special detail that we need to do. And all these things, obviously, are if we have no runs. You know, if
right.
it's a slow day.
Yeah, exactly. And you have
some
runs.
Some days it doesn't go that well, but yeah, so after that, you know, guys, after 1 p.m., barring there's anything going on, like any tours or anything at the firehouse that day, you can kind of relax. Like, you can change into your workout clothes, and you can be, you know, I mean, have on shorts and whatever you want to do, your workout shorts. And you can just kind of relax and whatever. You can go back into your room if you want to watch a movie or something. But a lot of the guys, especially on my crew now, we were talking about Stith earlier, you know, he's on my crew. He's always training for the police and fire games. And Cameron also did the police and fire games. They're both on my crew now. I have a great, wonderful crew. So we work out a lot on my crew. And then usually we eat dinner kind of early on this crew that I'm on now. It's like, we always joke around. We're like, man, how old are you guys? You know, he's like, it's like 5:30 dinner.
Like, are we the old people?
I know. Everybody, if it's not done by 5:30, you see people start circling around, like looking all like, all right, man, it's almost done.
That's
don't worry.
Funny.
I just had lunch like at 1, you know.
Like, I'm really not hungry yet. Like,
yeah.
We're trying to get early bird buffet or what's going on?
My crew eats really early. I don't know why. Usually by 5:30, which is then leads to the next thing. So after, a lot of us will walk after dinner. Yeah. It's always good to do it, you know, I mean, get that digestion going and everything. So we'll walk. But after that, everybody showers and they're in bed. It seems about like 8 o'clock, 8:30. Like, or they're back in their rooms. I'm like, man, so normally it's just me and one other guy. We'll be up watching if there's a game on or something.
Yeah.
We'll just be watching that. But yeah, it's crazy how different like every crew is, the dynamic of every crew. Some crews, I was on a crew before with like Jeffrey Levin. We were talking about the Levins earlier. Well, I was on a crew with Jeffrey Levin and Marcus Wren, those guys. And we would be up till midnight watching games. You know, if you know there's no runs or whatever, we'd be up late. Now this crew I'm on now is like 8 o'clock. They're like, "Woo, look at the time!
Like, got to get to bed now."
I'm like, "What? Like, I'm usually just like getting home at this time on my days off." You know.
How many's on your crew?
We are 4 on our truck.
Okay.
We have a truck company, so there's minimum staffing is 4. But being at headquarters, the fire marshal and the battalion chief are also there. So there's 6 of us that eat together or will be there a lot most of the day.
Now,
well, they go out.
As a sergeant, do you drive the truck?
I do. I do drive the truck and operate all that. So that's always fun. And I've always liked it. I have a CDL so on the side. Oh. So I used to drive, you know what I mean? So I've always just been used to driving bigger vehicles. And
so
everything.
You're like, fire
that's
truck, this is
that's
heaven.
Right. So it's that's great. And I was just so happy to that I was promoted here recently, and it was a tough process, but I did well enough. There you go. So I couldn't be happier. I think myself, I'm gonna stay as a sergeant for a while. A lot of guys just looking to the next step to move up, you know what I mean, move forward and be an officer and all that, and that's fine, you know, that's good. That's just eventually I will be an officer.
Yeah.
But I just enjoy this, but especially just now getting to it there. I think I'll stay as a sergeant for a while. I just enjoy that part. It's up to me I know, you know what I mean, as soon as that alarm goes off, then I, you know, I have certain things that I check off in my mind. Like, I, especially if it's a fire, I need to know where there's a hydrant. I need to relay that to my captain. I need to know the best route to get there. We need to know if there's any construction or anything that might delay us, so we have to take a separate, you know, different route. So I have all these things in my mind. I just enjoy that process, that part of it. Like,
do y'all have GPS in your truck?
We do not. So what I do, luckily, and this is different, well, you know, back in the day, not even back in the day, when I first got on, we had, they do have the CAD computers, but only the officer can see it, obviously, but the driver cannot. So you got to know where you're going before, as soon as that alarm goes off, you don't have time to check your phone a lot of the times. I mean, you can, but especially before the GPS, though, before we had the app, it's called Active 911. Now it'll tell you exactly where you're going. You can look on there, but sometimes that app's off. I had times where that's, it, they pinpoint the wrong place.
Not 100%.
Exactly, exactly. Right. So you need to know your streets. And back then they had some called a box book. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not. So actually, it was one of our retired, from what I was told, one of our retired cap, or he was the battalion chief, Dennis Durking. He created it. So every district has a number. It's like, say, District 1 is being the hundreds. So obviously, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, District 2 in the 200s, 300s. So every block or every block in that district or so many streets is a box number. So say we're going to a certain street in District 5. So I would have to look it up and tell my captain, all right, it's a box number 513. So when my captain gets in the truck and we get on there, I know, I already have to know how to get to that street. All right. So when he gets in the truck, he flips the book, the box book open to 513. There he can see where we're going, where the nearest hydrant is, and all that stuff. It was all on paper, though. Now it's all on an app that we have. So what I do, though, since that app's been off, sometimes I always double check. So I always go, as soon as I see the address, and I go to our Active 911 app and see where it's at. A lot of the times, because I'm pretty good with the streets, back, I worked with the city before I got on with the fire department. So I did, I was on the drainage department, so we had to get work orders.
So you
so,
already
yeah,
did
yeah,
work
I had to get
places,
work orders
right.
with a lot of streets. So, but now I'll double check. I'll put it in my Apple Maps and on my Google Maps. Double check the address to make sure it is all
well,
on.
Well, there's so much new construction, too. How does that affect you all?
Yeah, so one of the worst districts to work in right now is down in District 4, which is down out towards, like, you know, the industrial park and all that. There's new stuff popping up everywhere down on that end of town. So a lot of times, the maps, yeah, you'll look at the map and there will not even be any homes on there. It'll just be an open, like, open field on the map, but it's got a pinpoint of an address.
Like, okay, right? Well, there's
yeah, especially at where I grew up on New Chapel Road, there was nothing when you got towards the end where it is now Crystal Springs.
Yep.
And all of that.
It was all just fields.
Yeah. And we used to run through all those fields as a kid. Yeah. And we'd ride our bikes up and down New Chapel Road, all the hills. And then when we got to the fence, there was a farm. It was all fields. Yeah, so we just run through the woods and play manhunt and all that type of stuff. But now, even in Old Stoner, in the very back, it's all new homes going up. We actually just had a run up there about a month ago when I was working overtime down at Forest. And I was like, man, I didn't even know this stuff was back here. There's just putting up homes.
Yes,
all over
I was
the place.
Up that way at that new park, that New Chapel Park, and I was like,
"Yeah,
well, I'm just gonna go out this and see what this is." And I'm just like, "This is ridiculous!
Right.
Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't think the citizens of Jeffersonville realize how big Jeffersonville really is.
Yeah.
And why we need another fire department out that
right.
way?
Yeah, no, definitely. And then we're like with River Ridge. Sorry, I said industrial park earlier. The name slipped me, but yeah, with River Ridge. We respond, or Station 4 responds to a lot of medical calls because there's so many employees there, you know, working in that area. A lot of medical runs out in River Ridge, and that doesn't include any of the fires that there's been at some of those factories. The nearest truck, which would be us, Truck 42, we respond to everything, any fire related or active alarm with Station 4 coming from 10th Street, really, you know, the 2200 block, mm-hmm. right by the Arby's in North Haven Elementary. That's a long run. I mean, that's a long way to go. And if there's a train going across 62, no telling how
that's
long it'll be
there.
That's
what somebody else said. Like, yeah. If there's a train.
Yeah, you're going to be sitting there. Engine 44 is going to be on this fire by themselves for a long time until maybe Station 3 or Station, maybe they can get around it another way.
And I was shocked that Station 4 goes all the way to Charlestown State Park. Like to the boat ramp there.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I was shocked because that's quite a long ways.
Yep. I've responded over in Utica with Station 4, you know, in the back. some of the back roads there. They go a long way sometimes. In Utica, if it's a big enough incident, they'll call us anyway. So
what are they gonna do? Nothing against Utica, but
yeah, no. Just a lot smaller department.
So what are some of the misconceptions about firefighting? There's so many fire shows out there, and
right,
what do they get wrong?
I don't know if they, well, the misconception when you watch a show like that, it's nothing like it. You'll see, obviously, for entertainment purposes, you'll see these fires where the room is clear and you can see everybody. You can't see anything in a fire, I'll tell you that much right now. you can't see your hand in front of your face sometimes, so you're just going off training and just instinct, you know what I mean, and your voice with whoever you're in there mm-hmm. with. That's why we're never going to a fire alone. It's always two in, two out. You always do everything in teams because you never know what could go wrong in a situation like that. But that might be one big misconception. Another thing, and this is not a misconception, but another thing is every time I go out, anytime we're out in public, somebody will always come up and like thank us for our service. You know, it's like, I always say no, thank you, you know, but I just always feel so awkward, and that's because I'm like, it's just something that I signed up to do.
It's your job.
It's my job. It's my job. And if, I would rather sit in the firehouse and do nothing, not because I'm lazy, because that's far from it. We all work out and do everything every day. But because I know that when we're not responding to something, then someone's not having their worst day ever. You know what I mean? I would rather sit in the firehouse and not respond to another run at all. You know what I mean? I was like, if I could do that, it'd be great.
It would be perfect.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I would be like, that'd be great if I didn't have to do anything. But I always feel so awkward when somebody's like, oh, you know, thank you for your service. I think that's a military thing. Like, that's a very brave thing. And we get into some crazy situations, you know what I mean? But, I just feel, I don't know, it's just like, and like I said, I think I took this question the wrong way. I don't think it's a misconception. I don't know, it's one of those things that sometimes I just want to be like, man, if I could just sit at the firehouse and not do anything, that would be my perfect day as a firefighter.
Because like, you know, these shows, it's like they're constantly going to fire, big fires, going to the craziest medical runs,
having
all these issues within, you know, with each firefighter, and it's just like, I don't really think it's like that.
No, not at all. Really? Not in Jeff. And I don't know if Louisville, and I talked to my brother, and they're super busy in Louisville, but no, even then, like, they still get some downtime, you know what I mean, and all that. And it's just, no. Yeah, the show's for entertainment purposes, obviously. They want to make it as every scene as bad as possible.
Because who's going to watch it if it's just a blank screen because you're in smoke? Well, you all are just sitting there, you know, working out or whatever.
If you talk to anyone on JPD, they would tell you that we just sit in a recliner all day.
Yeah, I've heard that, and then I'm always just like, yeah, but I've talked to a lot of firefighters, and yeah.
I wish you did. I wish we could sit in a recliner all day. That would be the perfect world, like you said. You know,
it's just but like you guys get to go on a call and then hopefully have some downtime, whereas the police don't get that same downtime, which I think could be detrimental to your mental health, your physical health.
Yeah,
and
not a lot of them. There's been a few days where we didn't have a single run at the station I was at. You know what I mean? Like, we went a whole shift without having a single run. But it's very rare. But, yeah, we've had some of those. I don't even care. I love when it happens at night, though. Like, if we make it through the night without a run, that's a great night. But that doesn't happen very often either. So.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I know a lot of firefighters have jobs besides firefighting. Do you have a side job?
Yeah, I do. And like I said, I have a CDL, and I did that for a while, driving trucks locally here, different things. I've worked with a lot of the firefighters that own businesses on the side. I've worked with them because that's, you know, it's, we all, they understand my schedule.
Right,
they know
exactly.
So they know that's easy. So I drove trucks. One of our fire marshals, John Obermeyer, him and the old chief Hedrick, they own a business called Hamhead. I worked with Hamhead for a while.
Oh, I've seen that around town. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I worked for them for a while, driving trucks and things. And I've helped Marcus Wren. He has a business with another firefighter, Nick Stone. I've helped them with their business. They have a dumpster truck business. I've helped them with that. I've done side jobs with a couple guys like Jeffrey Levin. We've done some side jobs with them and all that. building retaining walls, doing land, whatever it could be. You know, you're always going to have a way to make some extra money because you have so many days off throughout the month. But it's great. It's whenever you see like the salary on paper, you know, they're like, oh, you know, yeah, as a firefighter, you start out at $50,000+. It doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound like a lot. It's more than enough for me, whatever. But you can make so much more money on the side.
Because you work like, what, 10, 12 days a month?
About 10 days a month.
Yeah. So you have all this other time.
So you can
might as well make some money.
Yeah. You can make $100,000 if you want.
There's always something. Mm-hmm. So how does firefighting affect your home life? Or does it?
It does. For me personally, it does not. So I don't have any kids. I'm one of the few that don't have any kids. And my girlfriend and I, and she travels a lot. She works for Jim Beam. She's a research and development for Jim Beam, so she travels a lot. So it doesn't affect us. She's used to it on the nights that I'm not home, when I'm at the firehouse, she just brings her, you know what I mean, she'll do more work. She'll work later into the night, whatever. And then sometimes, so she's gone traveling. Like last week, she was in Japan for work. So I'm like three of those days I'm at the firehouse. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. So yeah.
It's like, as long as you're all on the same page and she mm-hmm. knows this is what you do for a living, then can be.
So it doesn't affect us. We don't have any pets either. She wants to get a dog. We don't have any pets right now for that reason, because I'm gone 24 hours and she travels a lot. But eventually, if we do have a child or a pet, then we would have to adjust. But I don't think it would be hard. I'm sure some guys, who especially ones that were married or had kids and pets or whatever before they got on, once they got on, it was a huge adjustment. But now I think I've been on long enough and I'm ready. I know
how it's just how your life.
So I can make those adjustments easier than probably most. So
what advice would you give anybody that wants to become a firefighter?
The first thing would be, obviously, like we just talked about the schedule, and I know some guys that they turned the job down for that reason. But you have to really want, it has to be something you want to do. You're gonna, you know, the schedule, it does get used to, like I said, if you're already married and you have children, it's definitely a big adjustment. You're gonna miss out on stuff. You're gonna miss out on games or practices or certain things, you know, with your kids. You're not gonna be home every night with them, tuck them to bed. You're not gonna be able to see them off to school every morning either. It just depends what time, you know, they go in. So that's a big adjustment. It has to be something you want to do. For young guys with like you know, if I can't come in, they come in like me with no kids or nothing. It's definitely, just hope it's something you really want to do. And I just hope everyone just, like, you just got to be mentally prepared, because you don't know what you're going to see. But I promise you, you're going to see something that you're going to see something that you probably never thought you would see. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that you didn't think, you know, stuff that you see in movies.
Right.
Or you would see something crazy. So I just hope, fortunately for myself, it has, what I've seen at work has never affected me. I've never had a nightmare. I've never really dwelled on it. I've never thought about stuff once I leave work. But some people are not as fortunate as far as that. So it definitely is a career. You have to be, you can't just come into it like, I'll try this out for a little
bit. Like, you have to be committed to it.
Yeah, you have to come into it and make sure it's something you really want to do. Because it's definitely different, but it's amazing. I wouldn't want to do anything else now. And I'm just mad at myself that I waited so long before I even started trying out, you know, try to get on. I wasted a lot of time.
Because a lot of times it's not the first time you try, right? It takes some time.
It took me nine tries to get on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not because I wasn't physically or mentally capable. It's just very competitive. And at the time when I started trying out, it was a different system. It wasn't a merit board or whatever. It was more like the mayor just picked whoever he wanted. And guys, just, you know, it's all about who you know, you know what I mean? So it's a small town, pretty tough. And also, a lot of guys weren't retiring back then either. Mm-hmm. They had no incentives to retire. Now they get to keep their insurance and things like that. You know, they got a lot of incentives to finally just go ahead and walk away. And retirement, it's a bigger thing now where people are putting more money away mm-hmm. for retirement. Back then, I'll be honest, I didn't even start until I started working for the city in 2011. I'd never opened up a retirement account, you know what I mean? Putting money away. Yeah. So a lot of guys just weren't financially able to just walk away whenever they wanted, so they had to stay longer. So it was hard to get in because those guys had those jobs sewn up for a long time. So it took me 9 years, but finally I got on right before the limit. I was 33 when I got hired. At the time the cutoff was 36, so I would have had one more try after that year. I was gonna come back. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep coming back until they tell me I can't come back anymore. Finally I got the call, and it's been worth it ever since.
So just be prepared to try a couple times.
And it's very competitive right now. It's a great time to get on. We have a lot of people retiring. Like, we just had five total firefighters retire this year. Two more next year, and I believe there's like three more the year after that that are already signed up to go. So a lot of retirements happening, which is a huge shift. Our department is getting way younger now. It went, you know what I mean?
I'm sure
it happens under waves, and it goes in waves. Like, eventually we're going to be the old guys, and then the people will be waiting for us to get out.
Yeah, like, come on, retire already. Yeah, no.
But yeah, so I'm hoping I don't have to work till I'm that old, you know? I always plan... my girlfriend and I, eventually we'll get married, but our plan is, we want to buy, so I was born in Puerto Rico, I want to buy a house in Puerto Rico and go at least for the winters, because I hate cold weather. I wish it would only be cold on Christmas week, and after that.
I actually agree with you there, yeah. Yes.
But that's it. My plan is to go back to Puerto Rico, at least during the winters, and just hopefully enjoy the beach and whatever, just hang out. But I honestly, and I don't say I just got to do it, I do really think it is one of the greatest careers you can ever choose. You're giving back to people, helping out. Just like I said, helping with, you know, working with children.
I've heard that from so many of you all, that you, like, there's nothing else you would want to do.
No, nothing else. It's just like, I've never once felt like I'm at work. When I go in, like, I'm like, I'm at work again, you know, like,
you're like,
no,
hey, I'm at the firehouse. Yeah, yay.
Yeah. 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 It's just, I know we're going to laugh and joke around all day. We're going to go out on our runs, you know, and
be serious. You know, we need to be serious.
And then we're going to come back to the firehouse, and we're going to eat and joke around at the dinner table, work out together, you know, watch games or movies or whatever it may be whenever we get time to do that. And it's like a family. It's just like being at home with your family, and our work family. But yeah, it's the same feeling. Like, it's just,
it's different than a 9-to-5 job, because, like, you guys are there 24 hours together, and you have to have each other's backs no matter what. Like,
yes. I spend more times with the guys at work than I do with my own girlfriend. Yeah. And that's a true story, because, you know, even on the days when I'm off in the fire, my girlfriend will be at work till 5:30, like today. She don't get home till 5:30. So we'll have from about 5:30 to about 10 p.m., you know, before she gets tired and wants to go to bed. That's about all the time we have together most weekdays, you know, whenever I'm off work. So I do spend a lot more time with the guys at the firehouse, way more time with them than I do with my own family and girlfriend, yeah. So
is there anything else you'd like to share with us about your time as a firefighter?
So far, it's been great. Just all the people, all the guys that I work with, even like on our admin side, like the chief and the deputy chiefs and everyone, I get along great with everyone. There's not a person I've ever had an issue with at work. And like I said, it truly is like a family atmosphere, and I really enjoy it. Like I've said several times, I don't think I would rather do anything else in this world. And there's a lot of jobs that I always thought, of careers that I always thought I wanted when I was young, and I was like, I still don't think that would be as cool, you know what I mean, like, as what we're doing now.
I mean, you have a great schedule, let's be honest.
That's right. And like I said, I don't stress out about the stuff at work that I see, you know, when I'm at work. So, and when I leave work, I can turn that off, which is not an ability that a lot of people have, I don't think. But I can just turn that off. I'm like, I'm not talking to my girlfriend about work or about what I saw or anything like that. I just completely turn it off. It's into home life now. You know,
it's completely different. And you can just go and do something else and not have to worry about.
I'm also, one thing I am very proud of, and as far I know, this is I am the first Hispanic, definitely the first Puerto Rican that's ever been hired by definitely the fire department. So that's something, and it's nothing that's ever been, it's never been put out on anything. I enjoy knowing that for myself. You know what I mean? For
that's
myself.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The first at anything.
So I'm very proud of that. And being that I grew up here, was born in Puerto Rico, and I grew up in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And I'm very proud that I was able to get on. Because I tried out for New Albany, and I made it. forward in their process a few times, but then I wouldn't show up for, like, I made it through the physical, and then I wouldn't show up for the tech. Because I didn't really want to get on New Albany, so I was like, ah, I'm not going to try.
You wanted Jeff.
Yeah, I wanted Jeff. I wanted to get on Jeff. My brother got on Louisville, and that's a way bigger department, obviously bigger city, but I'm like, no,
have
I didn't want
to
get anywhere.
Have you reached out to the Hispanic community to try and get more Hispanic firefighters?
So I'm on the Human Relations Committee, like I said, at work, and several other things. I was doing the PIO thing mm-hmm. last year, and I have went on some recruiting and tried to get more, and females, minority, whatever, you know, Hispanic, whatever it may be, just a lot of, and we love going this year when we start doing our recruiting later this year, early next year, we're going to hit a lot more military, like the Army Reserves and everything. I bet there's some great candidates there, whichever it may be, you know what I mean, just... We definitely enjoy the guys with the military background. Obviously, they're used to the structure.
Yeah,
used to the structure and everything. So, but yeah, I would love to get some more. There's been one more after me. I don't know if you've met him or not. His name is William Meza.
Mm-mm.
He's a great guy. Yeah, he got on. He's Mexican descent. So another Hispanic. He's the second one that got on right after me. He's probably been on about 4 years now.
Because, I mean, we are becoming a lot more diverse in Jeffersonville.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I could just see it just at the library, the different
definitely.
People that come in. And it's
definitely.
Just like,
okay. We'll be, quick story, we've got to tell you about that. We went on a run, it was actually last week. We went on a run, a guy fell through his roof in his garage and stepped on wrong, was up there working, stepped in the wrong spot, fell through into the concrete. He was definitely concussed. He didn't know where he was at or anything. So when we're walking up, my lieutenant was the first one up, and JPD was there. They're like, this guy doesn't speak any English. Like, we have a language barrier. So my lieutenant was like, well, you're in luck. Like, we have a guy who speaks Spanish right here.
Let me translate.
So I had to, and it really didn't matter at that point. The guy was so concussed, he was not understanding any language. But
we have a lot of more native Spanish speakers in our area that they can turn to.
I even had to ride in the ambulance with him. He answered a few questions on the way. We had to take him to U of L Hospital. He was so bad off. But he had a huge gash in his head, and, you know, he was bad. But so I had to ride in the back of the ambulance for that, just in case. You know, they kept asking questions, but he answered a few of them. But yeah, it was so. We do as the Hispanic population, especially, is growing vastly, and it's all over. But you just never know where you're gonna run into if you're gonna have people that speak English or not. So yeah, it's very proud of it. I'm glad I can be. I can be valuable in that sense to be the only bilingual person.
Right,
under
I mean
the
that's
department.
Important.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's always very proud of that at least. So that's good.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.